Welcome to another edition of Racing Hotspot. I think the music bed is here to stay.
Yeah, it probably is.
It is. Anyways, my name is Devin Ponsolesny, joined by my partner in crime for this podcast, Mr. Jordan Jenkins.
Hello.
Now I'm going to start adding to it. Anyways, coming fresh out of Homestead and Thermal for IndyCar, as well as we had some modified racing in South Boston, which the only reason why we're bringing that up is because two things. One, Jordan Jenkins is going to go to Thompson this weekend for Wheel and Modified and Tri-Track and everything. Don't worry, he's going to cover that on the Short Track Saturday segment, but also we figured we'd bring up Tommy Baldwin since everybody else is talking about Tommy Baldwin. Not in a bad way, just kind of a general conversation about it. But anyways,
it was a good race, though, the Smart Modified Tour at South Boston. You had a lot of heavy hitters. Matt Hirschman won. We love an underdog story in Modified.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Matt Hirschman.
Of course. He never wins.
For those that don't. Yeah, exactly. He probably has won every big show. He's won pretty much everything in a Modified except won the Wheel and Modified Tour Championship.
I say he's got the nickname Big Money Matt for a reason.
Yes.
He wins well. He wins a lot, wins big races. He's a really great driver.
Yes, he really is.
He really is.
But Ron Silk was down there, Stephen Kopchick and Tri-Track, so a few Northerners up there. I'm trying to think. I mean, Newman's full-time in Smart Modified. I think it was just Kopchick, Silk, and Hirschman from up north that went down.
Nice.
Yeah.
So do we want to start with the Tommy Baldwin part of this? In Short Track Saturday?
I mean, it is involved in the Short Track Saturday.
Okay, let me back up because I think people listening to this at home might be like, oh gosh, what are they going to say? But like, it's nothing bad. It's just simply Tommy Baldwin being Tommy Baldwin.
Yes.
And not in a bad way. It's just the way it's just who he is. Unfortunately, and this is why I'm bringing it up, unfortunately for him, I feel like the door bumper clear side of things has created a bigger spotlight on him. So anytime he does anything, positive, negative, smile, yelling, everybody hears about it.
Good content. Yeah, Makes for good content. I don't know when you saw like the video of what happened, but I saw it like Saturday. Mm-hmm. And like, I rewatched that race Saturday night knowing what, like, I didn't watch it just because, you know, I have flow racing anyway. So yeah. I always try to watch, you know, any Smart Modified stuff or Arky East, whatever it may be. And, he was, I watched it knowing back, and Flow Racing just showed it. You just see it, like, they're like, see the Modifieds in turn one with Baldwin and Crum. Well, Jack Baldwin and Crum.
Yep.
And, like, in turn one, after they were, like, Jake was grabbing at Jack, and you can see kind of, down in the apron, you can kind of see, like, commotion. You can see someone get thrown. No, I'm just kidding. You can't see someone get thrown. And then the Floration just switches the camera to zoom in on it because that's what I love Floration. They don't miss the drama. Like, even, you know, in NASCAR, they'll show it, obviously. But, you know, usually short track stuff, they usually try not to show. But Floration's like, nah, get on it.
So just for those of you out there who are going, wait, what happened? Basically, Tommy Baldwin's son and another driver ran into each other. Wrecked. Yes. I didn't analyze it close enough to be able to say, oh, we got loose or whatever.
I think Jack Baldwin's left rear went out. He lost the left rear, and Crum just happened to be right next to him, and they
wrecked.
They both went into the wall, and it looked bad because a couple weeks ago, Crum wrecked Jack Baldwin.
Mm.
So now everyone's just like, oh, that was retaliation. And
So Tommy Baldwin, per DBC, door bumper clear, said that he was up on the trailer. He's watching. He went down to check in on a driver, and I guess just a miscommunication or something happened where people immediately, I don't know if they assumed Tommy was going to fight somebody or whatever, they immediately intervened.
Fair assumption.
Tommy basically, from the video, he at first didn't seem like he was like swinging fists, but then track workers got involved, started pushing Tommy, then Tommy got upset. And from that point forward, you know, Tommy you know, made the statement that, you know, he was done with all of them. We'll just say that. There was an F-bomb in there. And when that, like, it wasn't anything where Tommy was fighting anybody. It was just, I think, a misunderstanding from track workers. Tommy Baldwin's walking down, and people are probably like, ding, 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 here we go. And right. Meanwhile, he's just going to check in on, you know, somebody to make sure they're okay or whatever. So, I have no issue with it. I think that maybe the track workers were at fault in this situation, but whatever. I was saying to you, though, as we were walking in, that I am interested to see what happens throughout this year, because as much as I don't want to see it, and as much as I don't think it's going to happen, cancel culture is a thing. And if there is enough mayhem that revolves around Tommy Baldwin and what you could say is negative PR, which I don't think is negative PR, but anything could be taken into negative PR. I mean, this whole podcast could be negative PR for somehow, some odd reason. You know, like anything could be made into negative is what I'm saying. I would just hate for him to not be able to do like door bumper clear because of somebody else's doing. I don't think that's going to happen. I think when they hired him for door bumper clear, like, this isn't new. Tommy Baldwin and the Baldwin name has always been like this, you know, and it's, they're passionate race car drivers. You know, it's nothing where they're like, they're prize fighters racing in NASCAR. No, they're passionate race car drivers. And that's just the way they've always been, which is awesome. We love to see that in the sport. So I think like a Mike Davis and door bumper clear, they're not. They knew what they were signing up. And I think they're fine. But I'm just saying, like, that's just something, again, it's a non-issue. And I don't want anybody out there saying, where the heck are these guys coming up? But
Devin just Devin just worries when people have fun. That's all it is.
No, it's not that. It's just I don't want to see Tommy Baldwin get removed. Like, that's really what it comes down to, is I love him on DBC. I love that northerner, gruff style of racing. I mean, his opinions and thoughts on some of the things that, like, have happened in NASCAR so far this season are fantastic. So, like, I don't see, like, it's nothing where it's, like, that. It's just simply, I don't want to see him getting, quote-unquote, trouble with society. That's really what it comes down to.
Right.
So, again, we're not trying to make up things. We're not trying to make up stories. Please know that. I'm just saying, unfortunately, on the other side of the coin, is it's all fun and games, but at what cost? And that's kind of where I'm coming from. But I think overall, Tommy Baldwin, you know, got caught in a bad situation there, created by other people. That's really what I take away from it. But moving on, any other
thoughts?
That's
how we opened Short Track Saturday.
Yeah.
For this week.
Kind of personally regretting it, but that's okay. It's all good. Anyways, Jordan, what else do you got for Short Track Saturday? Got a big weekend coming up, right?
Well, yeah. As you said, Devin, I will be at Thompson Speedway this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, leaving my house at 5 a.m. Saturday morning to get to the pit area by 7 a.m., as that's when pits open. And practice at 9, so, you know.
Thompson Speedway Motorsports Park.
Yes, in Thompson, Connecticut. It's like an hour and 40 drive, so it's not terrible, honestly.
No.
But, yeah, I will be – I have a somewhat of a busy weekend, I guess you could say. I will be –
a couple things on the agenda.
Yeah, just a couple. On Saturday, I will be covering the Pro All-Star Series Super Late Model Race. They have a 75-lap feature. I will also be covering, well, I'll actually be going up to the broadcast booth for the Evolve Pro Truck Tour feature. They're going 35 laps. That'll be also be my broadcast debut on Racing America. So I look forward to that. And I also will be, then I'll go shoot right back down to the infield to do the Monaco Modified Tri Track Series. I'll be doing some media for that feature. And the entry list came out for that, and there's 31 entries right now, so a lot. And then on Sunday is NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour Race Day. And on that day, I'll be covering the SK Lights, this late Thompson Late Models, and the NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour, obviously. And the NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour entry list came out yesterday, and really impressed with the entry list. They have 33 cars, which is the most they've had at Thompson in about 5 years. And it's good to see for the tour because they don't really hit that number anymore. Mm. They only hit that number really for Loudon.
Mm.
But now with there's a whole Connecticut challenge with the NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour, so it's like an increased purse. So I think it's like $25,000 to win, maybe a little less. I don't remember exactly what it is, but all I know is there's like a Connecticut challenge for all three Thompson dates. And looking at both entry lists, there's a few modified drivers doing double duty. One for the NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour, Patrick Emmerling will be doing both. Luke Baldwin is going from Martinsville on Friday night to Thompson Saturday morning, and he will be running the Tri-Track Series and the NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour. John Michael Chenette will be doing double duty. Ron Silk doing double duty. Anthony Nocella, Stephen Kopchick, Dave Sapienza, Tommy Catalano, Eric Goodale, Big Money Matt Hirschman, Austin Beers, Woody Pickett, Jake Johnson, Max Zackham, Teddy Hodgson, Matt Swanson, and I might be missing one in terms of someone doing double duty. I'm going to double check. Jake Lutz is doing double duty. John McKennedy is not running the Wheel and Modified Tour race, so he's not doing double duty. Mark Stewart will be doing double duty as well, so I don't know how many that is, but just a few drivers doing double duty. Luke Baldwin doing a triple duty, running the truck race at Martinsville, which we'll get to. He'll be running the truck race at Martinsville Friday night, and then shooting up to Thompson, so good luck to him. And he tested at Thompson last week. I don't know quite how it went, but I'm sure I don't want to put money down on it, but I'm pretty sure this might be his first time running Thompson, like race-wise.
Hmm.
That I'm not too sure about, but yeah, NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour, the second race of the year. Their first one was about a month and a half ago, really, at New Smyrna when Patrick Emmerling won, so it'll be interesting to see. They have a talented field for the Wheel and Modified Tour. I mean, obviously, Justin Bonsignor looking to go back-to-back for his championship. Patrick Emmerling, Hirschman now was running full-time in the Wheel and Modified Tour, so Austin Beers as well. So, you know, you got your usuals. Tri-Track Series is going to have a lot of NASCAR Wheel and Modified Tour stars in it, which is always... it's always good. That's a really good... I consider that the premier modified division around right now in the Northeast.
Mm.
Just because they averaged like 34 cars last year.
Not bad.
So, it's incredible what they get. And it's like $10,000 to win, too, so it's a good purse.
Yeah, it's a win-win all around.
But the Thompson on Sunday will be the Icebreaker 150, 150 laps. The Tri-Track race... I forget what their title sponsor is. The Icebreaker 75. Should have known that. There's a 75-lap feature. So, yeah. The NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour race will be on Flow Racing, even though the rest of the Icebreaker action from Thompson will be on Racing America. And I will be, like I said, in the broadcast booth for the Pro Truck Tour on Saturday. And I think for the entry list for that, the Pro Trucks will be, honestly, in the high teens. I think like 17 or 18. So
not bad.
I think it would be
a good truck series.
R&R Street Stocks have like 24 cars coming. So there's going to be a lot of cars everywhere in the pits. And Thompson, I don't know if you've ever been to Thompson, but or how long it's been, but the Thompson pit area is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Like they go from, they line up the pits in turn one and two. They go all the way down the back stretch.
Yeah,
race cars everywhere.
They utilize the the road course side, like the garage, main garage area is attached to the front straightaway of the road course. And that's where the pit building is. So, like, you have, that's off of turn one of Tom, the oval.
Mm-hmm. So, and Tri-Track will be using that garage on Saturday, wheel modified tour on Sunday, and then mm-hmm. where every, all the other cars will be parked mm-hmm. all around.
I mean, I remember a couple of times we went there, the trucks were, like, over on the skid pad area. Like, it's on the road course. Like, it's pretty cool how they make it happen. But anyways, yeah, I mean, it's a great weekend down there. I mean, and if you're a race fan and you're looking to go camping somewhere, that's the place to be. You know, you camp there, you get a whole weekend, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, practice day's on Friday. I will not be there on Friday. I'll be in Vermont at the Vermont Motorsports Expo, so cool. I'll be there from 4 to 9.
So besides announcing, what else are you doing? Are you doing social media or anything like that?
Yeah, when I'm not announcing that pro truck race, I'll be doing social media for Vermont and NH Racing News. So it'll be my first year working with them, and that's actually why I'll be at the Motorsports Expo, because we have a booth there on Friday. And, well, they're going to be there. The expo is Saturday, too, but obviously, you know, I kind of will be at Thompson.
You're a little busy.
I want to go from Vermont from Friday night to Thompson early in the morning Saturday, so race season's definitely back.
Should have gotten a hotel midway through. Where is the Vermont expo this year?
White River Junction at the Connecticut Valley Auto Auction. It's like an hour and 15. Yeah, it's like an hour and 15, so it's not bad.
White River Junction is like unofficially the center point of New Hampshire and Vermont.
Yes.
So it's it's not bad. It's not bad at all. Cool.
Yeah, that'll be my first time covering the NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour in this capacity. Like, obviously, I've been to a lot of the races, but I don't think I've really been, like, in the pit area for them. I might have, but not anything I recall. I don't really think I've been. But, I mean, I've been around the Tri-Track Series since the end of last year, so.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, look forward to it. Gets the race season underway in New England. There's this week and then off next week, and then it's the Northeast Classic at New Hampshire Motor Speedway.
It's crazy.
And then after that, I'm pretty much every weekend.
I know that it didn't snow down in Connecticut, but up here we have about 5 inches of snow.
That's an exaggeration. We do not have that much. It's too many for like the third day of spring, but it's definitely not that.
Meredith, New Hampshire has 5.5 inches of snow right now.
Well, we're not Meredith. We are in Belmont.
So we have 4 inches of snow.
Okay. Well, my house got, like, not even an inch.
Yeah, because you're southern-ish New Hampshire. You're more south than us.
Not by much.
You got hit with that snow rain line more than anything. Anyways, it's just crazy because, like, there are race teams from out of year going down to Connecticut, and just to think that they're going to pack up their race cars, drive in there, packing up the trailer in snow.
Yeah.
To then go race. It's pretty cool. It's crazy, but it's, race season's back.
Yeah, race season's back. I've been looking at the weather just because, you know, it's an out of state trip, you know, for 2 days. And, it says it's supposed to rain, but not much. I think it'll just be enough to be a pain. You know, like, aw.
This guy will. Our race here in New Hampshire will be 3 weeks out, and he'll start looking at the weather.
That is not true.
And freaking out about the weather.
That is not true.
2 weeks out is when he starts freaking out saying we're not going to get the race in.
All right, you know what? And guess what? I've been right most of the time.
And then the week of is when it's really like he considers refunding tickets.
No.
And it's I will never refund.
You can't refund tickets actually in NASCAR, so that's not true.
SMI has an option for the weather guard, which is more or less a refund. Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to him,
you're
guys.
Bad.
Well,
we'll be sitting at the racetrack on Thursday.
Well, you know what?
And you'll be like,
you know what?
It's 5% chance of rain. We're not going to race.
You know what?
It's like, no.
Well,
we live in New Hampshire.
You know what? Guess what?
That 5% chance is going to happen at 8 in the morning.
Guess what?
Covers the 5%. We're racing at 2.
You know what? Guess what? Work in racing, and you'll understand. Yeah, I guess. I know it's been a while since you've done that, so.
I used to work in racing. I work outside in sports.
All I'm saying is going to be 44 degrees. So whether that's warm or cold, I guess it depends on if it's windy.
Depends on where you are. Oh, Thompson. Where you're coming from.
Thompson.
No, where you're coming from.
Yeah.
If you're coming from Berlin, New Hampshire, 44, that's shorts weather. You're coming from South Carolina, bundle up.
Two winter jackets.
Bundle up. Anyways, any other thoughts from Short Track Saturday?
Not that I think of. Great. Except, actually, I think I mentioned that I have 82 race days this year. So, you know, I'm going to be at a lot of, like, I'm going to be at, like, every, like, big New England racing event there is. But now I might be going to almost covering Thunder Road full-time on Thursdays. So if I had just had to guess, my race day schedule is going to go over 90. Mm. At least. Maybe even hit 100, so who knows.
We'll see.
I made a joke saying, oh, let's get it to 100. Didn't think it was mathematically possible, but who knows. I guess it might be.
Here you are.
So I don't know why I did it to myself. I mean, I'll like it, but I'll probably look at it like halfway.
I'll talk to you in November.
I'll be in June thinking it's like October. I'm like, oh, it's only June. I'm like, geez, I've already had like 100 million race days.
I want to go to bed. All right. Let's talk about IndyCar. They raced out in Thermal. Before we even start.
Did they?
What?
Did they? I thought the cup race was on Fox and FS1.
So we haven't, I don't, maybe you saw something. I haven't seen any official statement from Fox explaining what happened.
I have not either.
Other than that they had technical difficulties and a couple people on the racing world said that they had lost signal. I don't know.
So I was going back and forth, obviously.
How that happens.
I was going back and forth, obviously. Well, I was watching more Homestead than anything because IndyCar, the Thermal. Is Thermal a point race for IndyCar?
I'm always confused. This year it was. Okay. It was the first time it was.
So I'm so used to that not it kind of like being an all-star race.
It's their second year going to Thermal.
Right. So last year I was used to being an all-star race.
Yep.
So I was more focusing on Homestead and going back and forth like every time Homestead went to commercial. And there was a time I switched back. And it was the same thing I just put on, so I was extremely confused. So I'm like, did they switch IndyCar to FS1? So I went back to FS1. I'm like, no, that's still the cup race. I'm like, what is going on? So I wasn't actively on Fox watching IndyCar when it happened, but I noticed like when I went to switch and it was the cup race again. I'm like, wait. I'm like, when did Kyle Larson's running Homestead and Thermal at the same time? Wow.
It was weird. I don't know what happened. Look, Fox came out, tech issues aside, Fox came out of the box in St. Petersburg and put on a show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. We talked about it. They came out in Thermal, and there were moments where I felt like we were watching a NASCAR race. They had mistakes. They had errors. They cut to the wrong cameras. They cut to cameras too soon. I don't know what happened. I don't know if maybe they had a pre-race issue and it just made them all like nervous and shake, you know, like shook them up and they weren't on their game. I don't know. But it was weird because you tuned into Fox for IndyCar and you were like, here we go. And then there was an issue and then a tech issue and they cut to the wrong camera and they put the wrong graphic. I don't know what was up with the graphics. I don't know if you caught this, but here comes
Alex. Not the cartoon ones?
No. Well, I personally have no issue with that, but whatever. Coming down a pit road, Alex Perlow leaves his pit box.
Actually, I lied. IndyCar does not do cartoons for Fox anymore. I lied. I forgot.
So IndyCar, Alex Perlow comes out of his pit box. They have the tracker with the arrow on him, and they have a graphic saying the same exact thing. Two graphics saying the same exact thing, watching him come down pit road.
And CW did that.
But I think, in my head, I'm going, if you're going to have two graphics on the same guy, have different information. Right? There was also another time where they cut to one of their pit reporters to talk about a driver, and the pit reporter was like, well, I'm not down there right now, so I'm not really sure what's going on. But, yeah, he's in a couple laps early. Like, wait. What?
The one thing.
You know, like, there were just little mistakes. And, again, I don't know if it was that they were dealing with a tech issue. and it just their producer was shaken up and like wasn't on his A game, or if they brought A game to St. Petersburg and they're like, yes, we won.
But
on to the next one.
Another thing I noticed too is they never show anybody else on the IndyCar broadcast. They only show the leader. Every time I was on thermal, they never showed anybody else.
Towards the end, they showed.
Like, even Fox on Cup Series side, like, I feel like they showed Kyle Larson's car, like, 99% of the time.
So
even when he wasn't the leader. It was just like.
So, something that I noticed with the IndyCar broadcast was that it was Pillow. He got past O'Ward. He had, like, a 4-second lead. And that's when they started checking in on, like, Will Power back at 8th, you know. Actually, he finished 6th. But, like, that's when they started checking on other drivers. Something I am not a fan of.
They'll show the battle. They'll show the leaders until it's a battle for the lead, then they'll cut away from it.
Something I'm not a fan of is the fact that their announcers are watching on a TV. Now, Jamie McMurray talked about this
on DBC.
On DBC. Saying that at the end of the day, you are there for TV, right? You are announcing TV. If I look out the window and I see a battle for fifth place in turn three, but the camera's following driver in turn one, when I say, oh, they're side by side, the people at home are going, no, they're not. So I get it. The thing I don't like about it, though, is there were a couple times where they jumped cameras from, like, Pillow, who was leading, to, I think it was Marcus Armstrong, who had gotten by Kyle Kirkwood towards the end of the race. They switched to that camera where they show it, and you have James Hinchcliffe go, and he, oh, I see. Okay, this is Armstrong getting by. Like, it was almost like it was news to them, too. And it was like, Who dropped the ball? Was that a producer who should have said, hey, James, we're going to cut to this battle right here. Ready? Go.
And they didn't say, like, what the battle was. So
right.
Just like, what?
Like, they just switched cameras.
Because I don't know if a lot of people know this about IndyCar. A lot of the cars, I mean, when I say the cars look the same, obviously they are.
Well, they're
but
like
they have, like, the same wraps.
Right.
In the schemes. Not all of them, but a lot of them look identical. So it's
right.
Just like, I don't even know who this is.
Well, and it's just kind of like, it just bugged me, and like I said, I understand why they do it, because trust me, I do it too. You know, when we're going to start covering baseball, softball here soon enough, we put a camera on a backstop, and I watch a video screen in the production trailer, right? That's what people are watching. That's what I'm watching. But it's just frustrating, and maybe this is a disconnect between the announcer and the producer, because for DPPG, I am both. So it's easy for me to talk to myself.
You're everything.
But like,
you're HR, producer,
broadcaster. We're not getting into the business side of things, but I'm just saying, like, I can understand in my product, my line of whatever, just being like, thinking to myself, I'm going to switch cameras.
Mm-hmm. And you don't
perfect.
Have to tell
the
anybody because you're
the announcer
like,
knows, click.
Because
like,
if you say, oh, I'm going to cut to this camera, you're just talking to yourself.
Right. But like, whereas with the pros, you have a producer who's going to say, hey, we're switching a camera too. And the producer needs to make sure camera two is ready. But also I feel like a second producer who needs to let the announcing team know, hey, we're going to switch from first to seventh and show a battle for seventh. This way your announcers don't go, okay, I know where we are. Like, it's like, whoa. Because as viewers, we're watching this going, do they even have their stuff together? Like, I feel like you could have cut to the Homestead race and you would have gotten the same reaction out of James Hinchcliffe. Oh, here's Kyle Larson. You know, like, it was like that. Like, it was like they were so out of the loop. And I don't blame the announcers, but it's just like, help us out here. Because then people online are going to eat that up. And they're going to say Fox is horrible and da-da-da. And it's like, A-game.
Well, they already did. I don't know if you saw the comments when IndyCar and Fox at Ox Pillow won. There was, don't go back to thermal, and your broadcast sucks.
So thermal is a discussion I want to have, because last year when they had the race, the All-Star race there, it was awesome. It was awesome. because they were short sprints. They were like heat races, right? Great racing, fun racetrack, very forgiving, meaning like if a car went off, you know, they were able to drive away. Like it was pretty cool. This year, with it being a points race, 65 laps on a 3-point-something mile racetrack, oh my gosh. It took forever to complete a lap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, actually, I want to say it was probably, I don't know, probably 2 minutes a lap. Hold on, I'm going to figure this out. Okay, Paddle Award got the pole with a minute 39. So it wasn't horrible lap time-wise, but it wasn't great either. Because it just felt like it kept going. It felt like we were racing at Road America, where it was like, here's a corner, start fit. No, still not there. Here's another. No, still not there. Hang on. Here's a, nope, we're still not back around. Okay.
Oh, that's a French race. Oh, no, that's just.
That's secondary.
They're in another road course.
Yeah. Like, and don't get me wrong. Like, I love the racetrack. It was fun. But, like, 65 laps. It seemed like forever.
I feel like a lot of IndyCar road courses are like that.
I mean, but usually there are cautions. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, it's probably no cautions. Yeah. That's why a lot of people said Homestead wasn't a good race for Cup because there wasn't many cautions.
I totally disagree.
I would too.
But anyways, it just kind of, it's... I have no issue with the racetrack. I had an issue personally with the length of the race.
Yes.
You know, when the green flag flew, they went through the whole racetrack and da-da-da-da-da, and then you cross the start-finish line, you're like, wow, and you look up at the lap counter, it says one. It's like, oh. And you look up what feels like 10 minutes later, and it says three. It's like, okay. All right.
Like, Coda can get like that, too.
Well, and that's why NASCAR shortened
it. But that's also because, like, the Cup cars are not as fast as IndyCar, too, so it's just like, oh.
But they're similar lengths in track,
right?
3 miles, which makes sense.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing when NASCAR went to Road America. It took forever to get around the 4 mile road course. But it just was one of those things where it's like, I don't know. It's a great racetrack. I just feel like maybe instead of 65 laps, maybe do 50.
20, take it or leave it.
No, yeah. Sprint. But like, I don't know.
One lap shootout, go.
I mean, because Formula One does what? 40 lap, 50
something
lap,
like that,
60
yeah.
Sometimes, depending on the road course, like depending on the course. So I don't know. It just, that was my only complaint. The race itself was great. I love the race course. IndyCar is exciting, but like, that's my only complaint.
Yeah.
Real quick, podium finish. Kristen Lundgaard finished third, Paddle Award second. Alex Palou is your winner for the Thermal Club IndyCar Grand Prix from this past Saturday. They will be racing at Long Beach coming up on April 13th, so that's 2 weeks away.
Yes.
So that'll be exciting for them. Any other thoughts on IndyCar before
we Paddle Award went from 11th to like 5th in the standings. I know it's only two races in, but that's a big jump, though, still.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. Any other thoughts?
No.
All right. So moving on. Truck race. The biggest storyline coming out of it is 40 to go. Kyle Larson spins and comes back to win.
Fresh.
Question I have for you is, does Corey Heim having mechanical or technical issues, if he does not have those issues, his truck continues to run, does Kyle Larson win that race?
No. No, he does not.
I'm going to say, why? Elaborate, please, sir.
Because Corey Heim, like, we know the speed Corey Heim has each and every week.
Yep.
But that Corey Heim was the best truck from qualifying, practice, qualifying to the race. Corey Heim was the best truck. And, I mean, even Freddie said it. Larson was not gaining on Heim when Heim didn't have the power issues, which I don't even know if they ever said what the why that was even happening, but like
late NASCAR's fixed.
Yeah, makes sense.
Hey, Corey, just take your foot off the pedal. Okay, go ahead.
Go now.
Okay, go ahead. No, I'm just kidding. They were saying it was like some electrical issue that was making it so the truck would basically turn off.
Yeah. Well, I knew it was turning off. I wondered like what even like
what caused
it. What was the issue? But like Layton Riggs, I was going to finish second. Like, I don't think Riggs was going to get the Heim either. Because, I mean, it made it for a good battle. I mean, Riggs gets past Heim and Heim's truck turns off. Heim gets right past him. But, yeah, no, I think Corey Heim wins that race if he doesn't have the truck issues.
We're not trying to take anything away from Kyle Larson because he had a fast race truck. But it definitely helped Larson.
The one thing I like too is I saw like the comments when Larson won. It goes, everyone was like, "This is why he's the best." When Kyle Busch was winning truck races like a couple years ago, before like the five max rule, everyone was just like, "Oh, this stinks.
Get him out of the trucks.
Why is he doing this?" And then Kyle Larson does it. Everyone's like, "Oh, he's the best."
Praise the Lord.
He's the best thing since sliced bread. Like, Larson's good. But if people didn't like Kyle Busch doing it, why do they like Kyle Larson doing it? Just because Kyle Larson's a more likable person?
I don't think it's that. I think it's more so the fact that, like, Larson picks and chooses his races, whereas Busch used to.
Where he knows he's going to win. Kyle Larson knows he's going
to
win.
But Kyle Busch used to just, he was there every week.
Which is why the rule happened.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It was a different time. Like, if you put Kyle Larson back before the rule happened and he was winning every truck race, eventually people are going to be like, okay.
But Larson does that now. He's in the truck, so yeah, probably do the same thing.
But
we'll be like, he's the best.
But nobody complains about Kyle Busch when he wins in the truck races these days because they're like, okay, Kyle won.
Well, I think as now everyone's starting to feel bad for Kyle Busch.
No. You know.
He can't win a cup, so.
And going back to the Corey Heim thing, as much as we hate to see it for Corey, that's just racing.
Yeah.
You know, that's just one of those deals that it's like you, you'll see it probably this weekend at Thompson.
Yeah.
You know, some guy goes out there, has a really good run, and then what happened? The battery just fell out of it.
Nope.
Literally.
Yep.
And it's like, well, why did it fall out of it? We don't know. We have to figure it out. You know, like, it's just the way it goes.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing in any sport. You know, why didn't Judge have hit a home run? Well, he had this, like, there was something outside of his control. Because
it's the World Series.
No, because if it's something outside of his control or something, you know, messed him up or whatever, like, it's just unknown,
right?
Unknown circumstances that just pop up, and that's just sports.
Like, when Kyle Larson won the truck race, I really thought he was going to get the weekend sweep. I'm like, oh, man. But, I mean.
The Xfinity final restart was just. I don't think it was anything egregious. I think that the pushing him and almost causing him to wreck was just him trying to time.
Right, and Mayer, I think Mayer had the equal Carl Larson. Even like before that restart, Mayer was the one pushing Larson. So there was Mayer was one that could go side by side with him and take the lead.
Well, and that's what his
the only thing was Larson had the line where he was pretty much like a centimeter off the wall. That's why he hit the wall so much.
Right,
like all those black marks on the wall. That's all Kyle Larson.
not for sure.
It's okay.
Not really, but yes, you're
right. It's okay. He did the same thing in the Chili Bowl too. He kept hitting the front stretch wall. He kept scraping it, and he still won. But, yeah, Mayer had I think the equal car to him. But once the restart happened and Mayer kind of hit him, which nothing against Mayer. He expected Larson to go
you said it right.
But once Allgaier cleared Larson for the lead, and once Larson fell back to third, I'm like, this is between who? I don't even remember who finished second.
Was it Sam Mayer?
I'm like, this is between Sam Mayer and Allgaier. Once Allgaier cleared Larson and Mayer got past Larson, I'm like, Larson's not gonna catch them.
Well, so going back to what you said, that was probably Sam's plan, which was, I'm going to time this with Kyle, not trying to spin him out, but just time it with Kyle so that they can be pushed ahead of the outside line, and then when Larson goes to the top line, Sam would go to the bottom, and they'd be side by side through one and two.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Mayer just mistimed it and wound up jacking up the back end of Kyle Larson's car, which then backed up the whole inside lane and allowed for the outside lane to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, it's one of those deals that's just racing. You know, it wasn't like Sam was like, I'm going to take you out. No. He just was like, okay, let's go. Oh, we're not going. Got it. You know, and whatever. That's a product also of when you have another series driver coming into your series. You know, that doesn't happen in the Cup Series, because if Sam Mayer and Kyle Larson race each other every week, they have that rapport, and the spotters know each other to be able to say, hey, have Sam offset, wait for the hand out the window, and go.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this, it was like,
right,
you know, there's that disconnect. So, one of those racing deals.
Yeah, it was. I agree.
So, but no, I mean, first of all, for Justin Allgaier, congratulations back to back, but also, as they said in Door Bumper Clear, one of the first times, one of the more recent times that Justin Allgaier was actually able to recover and win.
I know.
Usually he has an issue and then that's it. But well done by him to win in the Xfinity race. So
pretty much, you notice how the first two races we've said were really good races? Mm-hmm. Phoenix could never. Unless they have an option tire. But I did see a thing where Homestead on their website had tickets available for NASCAR weekend in November.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's fair to say that. It's kind of like what New Hampshire Motor Speedway did when they leaked that they're indeed going into September, mm-hmm. which we kind of knew anyway because we were told by an inside source
mm-hmm.
that works for the track I'm not going to mention, but Devin knows who I'm talking about.
I can think of a couple inside sources that kind of told us.
Yeah,
but
Homestead, I don't know if it was on the Homestead Miami, I assume probably was, they had like reserve tickets November 1st, whatever.
Apparently, and again, we'll give credit where it's due.
Black Flag Podcast posted it.
Oh, I was going to say DBC.
Oh, Black Flag Podcast posted it.
Freddie Kraft mentioned how they were trying to like announce it this week,
and
something happened. It might have been the wildfires. Who knows what happened?
Right, I think.
But there's a rumor.
I completely forgot about the wildfires.
There's also a rumor that next year would be the start of rotating.
That's what I figured.
The championship races, and I mean Freddie Kraft had said something about how it would be like Homestead, possibly Vegas, maybe a. Phoenix.
And I think we talked about it. I think we talked about it last week too, where SMI and NASCAR make a deal where all stars go to a NASCAR track.
Right,
the championship would be SMI, and then next year, vice versa.
My opinion is that is super simple to do, but then again, my business that I do is in small town USA, not corporate. So there's a little bit of a difference there.
And us being New Englanders, we're like, woo, championship race at Loudon and book it.
Well, it's funny. They mentioned that on Door Bumper Clear because I think it was it Freddie or Tommy who was like, we raced it Loudon once in November. Granted, that was with extreme circumstances back in 2001, but like,
doesn't matter.
It's
still
doable.
Still happened.
It's doable. Just saying, especially since the
give us our two race dates and championship one year.
Whoa,
that'd be good.
Hold on a minute here. I think all of us would be okay with one race date if it was the championship.
Yeah,
race.
That's
like,
true.
Oh, we only get one race this year, but it's
the championship.
Championship. All right.
I know,
it's
kind of like us now. It's like, yeah, we're back in the playoffs. We're like, we only got one. Now we got to wait longer than for our regular compared to what we've been used to the last seven years where it's like July. Woo.
One of my friends was talking to me about that, and we were driving down to Concord or whatever, and we drove by the racetrack, and they said, he's like, oh, yeah, September. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I love that it's September. But I also hate that it's September.
It takes longer.
And he was like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, we found out about it in June.
Like,
so we had to wait 12 months plus some. And he's like,
we literally have to wait like a year and a half.
It's
usually like a year.
Hey, instead of 12 months, you got to wait 15.
Because
now
it'll hit July and it's like, woo, let's get ready.
Let's go.
I'll probably text you, be like, what day are you bringing the camper? And then you'll be like, oh, it's
September
still
14th.
It's still 2 months. I'm like, oh, yeah. Because we're so used to having it in like June. Well, rare occasion June, because last year was a rare occasion. It was in June. But between June and July, the last 7 years, it's been literally pretty much the same weekend. And now it's just like, oh, we're back in the playoffs. The first time in 8 years, and now that's our only one. Because when we had the playoffs, we had two dates. It was we had two in 2 months, July and September.
Now it's 10 weeks apart.
Now we have to wait till September.
So
now I know how Homestead feels when they were the championship. Yeah, have to wait till the whole season is done.
So, Cup race, really good race. Kyle Larson wins. Alex Bowman second. Bubba Wallace third. Wallace was there.
Denny Hamlin fifth.
Okay.
Shout out Denny Hamlin.
Okay, Hamlin fan.
That's okay. He needed it.
Wallace was there.
Yes.
He was running well. He was up front. He had the speed, and then just tires fell off on him.
Does Larson win the cup race if Bowman doesn't hit the wall?
I think Larson gets by him.
Yeah, I think.
But
he does
I think
too.
It just it's not.
No. It wouldn't have been that soon.
It would have, well, that and also probably would have been more of a battle.
Yeah.
I mean, Larson was coming up on him in that corner.
I think Bowman just got scared. Bowman probably was just scared.
I don't think it's a scared thing.
Nothing against Bowman, but he sees Larson, like, charging at him, and he's just like, ah.
I'm just saying, I don't think it's a scared thing. I think it was more like a...
He was trying to do what Larson does, but really only Larson can do what he does at Homestead.
He was pushing hard. Well, that was ultimately what it was, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, you listen to the DBC when Freddie Kraft told Bubba what Larson was doing to be like a whole second faster. Like, I mean, he was like inches off the wall, and Bubba tried to do it. He was like, "Yeah, no, I'm good." Yeah. Well, he didn't say that, but
more or
I'm
less.
Not gonna say what he said, but he's like, "Yeah, no,
can't do it,
can't do it."
But like, I don't know. It's just I think for Bowman, I don't think it was anything more than just he was pushing hard, and he. Just like in the dirt track world, just go over 3/4 of an inch, and you're in the wall. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the cushion. You're running the cushion.
And Larson hit the wall a lot in the cup race. I think Boyer counted it, whether he counted all of them, but he said it was like 17 at one point. And then he hit the wall a couple more times after that. So it was probably like 20 times he hit the wall. Mm.
But, I mean, you know what? Larson's hit the wall a lot of time in a dirt car. So the difference between...
Shout out the Chili Bowl Nationals because he did the same thing.
But the difference between Larson and maybe another driver who's not used to ripping the wall, Larson probably has that feeling.
Oh, yes.
Where as soon as he knows that it does this, lift off. You know, like take your foot off the pedal. And it's going to hit, but it's not going to ride. It will hit and bounce, you know. So same thing, like same idea in a dirt car, I believe. But no, I mean, let's transition here, coming out of the cup race, and say, does Homestead deserve to be the championship
yes.
race?
Yes, it does.
And why?
I mean, look how entertaining all three races were. Phoenix, once have we said that about Phoenix? This year, but option tire for the cup race. But when have you ever said, oh, those were, like, I remember, was it this past truck race that felt long because they kept wrecking? Or was it the year before?
I think it was the year before.
I don't know. All I know is I guess it felt also longer because, you know, truck race championships at 9 p.m. Eastern because they're in Phoenix. So, like, I think the race ended, like, 1 a.m. Because it was just, like, usually... Phoenix to deliver a race, they had to have cautions because, like, obviously, Phoenix is a cleaner track. Homestead, I mean, I know a lot of people didn't like the race because there wasn't a lot of cautions, and they also don't like the tire rule, like in that. Like Hamlin and Larson, I thought the race was gonna come down to both of them. Hamlin finished fifth, but. Because they were the only two in the first two stages that split the stage, and they caught so much, they gained so much ground. Like Hamlin and Larson were 1-2 in the stage because they were the fastest because they were the new tires. I mean, I think the battles at Homestead are just, like, they're four wide at Homestead. I mean, you can do that at Phoenix too, but, you know, I don't know how to describe what I'm trying to get to, but Homestead itself, I think, like, just the history it has, like, with championship races, like, the races are really good, where everyone, like, Phoenix, I think, is just at the point now where every time they go to Phoenix, it's just like, eh.
But they're Phoenix. But Homestead got that way, too, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this kind of goes back to the idea of rotating it.
You're right.
You know, But unfortunately, I think that we live in a society now where if you have the same thing, even if you do a three-race rotation, guess what? In year four, you're going to go, we're going back. Dude.
Well, because the thing is now, if being Phoenix, is everyone knows Phoenix is a Penske racetrack. That's why they've won the last three cup championships. And I'm nothing against Logano twice or Blaney, but Blaney in 23 was statistically the worst NASCAR Cup champion in history. And then last year, Logano did that. Logano was 15th in points. Mm. I know with the playoff system now, anybody can win the championship because it's winning you're in.
But
when you have one, like Homestead is Larson's track. We know that. Mm-hmm. If they did Homestead every year and Larson's in the championship four, Larson probably won the championship 5 years in a row. Because I think rotating it with different tracks, I think makes it so, like anytime there's a if Team Penske makes the championship four this year, I'm going to assume Penske's going to win the championship.
Right.
Just because they know how to attack Phoenix. And that's all credit to where credit's due for Penske. They know what to do for Phoenix. But when it comes down, the champion shouldn't come down to, I guess, the team being good at that track, if that makes sense. I know, obviously, the champion's going to be good at the track no matter what.
Just put it at Daytona. It's a crapshoot.
But I'm just like...
Anybody can win there.
But when... I don't know how... Like, I'm explaining this wrong, but when...
You shouldn't be able to have a race that is won by a race team who knows, like, is good there. Like, you can't go to Homestead every year because if Larson's there, he wins.
Like, Joey Logano shouldn't have even been the champion just on the sole fact he was eliminated after the round of 12.
It was the Charlotte race.
Right after the round of 12, but he got in because Bowman failed tech. Mm-hmm. So, Logano got a second chance and ended up winning the championship. Mm-hmm. Blaney... won the championship because Blaney was having a strong year when he won, but really he won where it mattered most. He won at Talladega, and then I think he won Martinsville. The championship format, and I honestly think based on like with the conversation this off season, I think the championship format changes. Not a win and you're in, but I think they tweak it in a way.
Well, and I think
I think for NASCAR it looks. I don't want to say it looks bad, but when you have the last two champions that became the statistically the worst, I'm talking about like average finish wise. Like Logano was average finish like 16th, and Logano was like plus two over the cutoff line when he won at Nashville.
It's like the MLB going into the World Series and having a single game.
Right.
Like, I mean, think about let's talk about last year's World Series. The Dodgers won, what, two games in a row?
Three
games in a row.
I think they were 3-0.
So 3-0. And then the Yankees
1-1.
Beat them.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a narrow. They, like, beat them.
Yeah.
And then
inning five of the next game happened.
Whatever. It doesn't matter from that point forward. But my point is that, you know, imagine if that fourth game was the single game of the World Series. Mm-hmm. You know, the Dodgers just didn't show up that game for some reason. And
right.
The Yankees were like, boom. Like, I think the only other sport that does this where it's not a best of is is Super Bowl.
Like, and I'm not saying this as a Hamlin fan. Hamlin, the last couple of years, well, this year's been off to not a great start. Mm. But then, you know, a new crew chief and all. Like, just times I'm literally watching a race, I'm like, is Hamlin even in this race? That's why I'm like glad he finished fifth and won a stage. Because I'm like, yes, good point. Like, that was, Homestead was the first time he ran, like, solid all day.
Yeah.
When William Byron technically should have been the champion last year just because he won, what, six races?
I think so, yeah.
And he was the points leader all year. Actually, no, Reddick was the points leader because Reddick won the regular season championship.
Yeah.
Either way, doesn't matter. Byron, this playoff format credits who does good in the last 2 weeks of the season. And, I mean, yeah, obviously, you're clutching to match modes like Ryan Blaney. But every year, do you want that? Shouldn't the champion be the best driver?
Well, I mean, so NASCAR's at like a crossroad because you have your Game 7 moment,
right,
which is exciting,
yeah,
right?
Which is usually Martinsville.
But yeah, like, so yes, like Martinsville has become a hot ticket on the series,
mm-hmm,
because
it's
everybody, you know, it's do or die, right?
And usually that Martinsville race has some iconic moments.
Exactly. So like everybody wants the Game 7 moment, but you also want your champion to be accurate to the season. You know, like in a sports world, if you have number one and number two playing each other seed wise, like the NFL, if you have number one, number two playing each other in the Super Bowl, that is perfect.
Right.
That means the system worked.
Yep.
If you have number one play number three, okay, that's fine. But you should not have, which is like what happened last year, second, third, fourth playing number 15. And granted, upsets happen. But
March Madness.
Right.
Because it's March Madness season. Shout out March Madness.
I was going to say, don't get me wrong. Upsets happen. But upsets usually get eliminated in the semifinals.
Huh.
You know, like you don't necessarily see those go all the way.
Like,
and if they do, then they usually aren't.
And it goes back to like, Harrison Burt winning Daytona when we were there. He was literally last in cup play and cup points for full-time drivers, but he got a playoff spot because he won a race. I like the winning you're in because it makes, like, you know, especially the last couple of years because we get to like 12 or 13 different winners. So there's only like a couple of playoff spots near the end of the season where it's like that are up for grabs.
Right.
But it doesn't.
Is there a way to do winning you're in the regular season and then either do a 10 race run or make your championship round a three race run and it's based off of points?
I think Freddie Kraft mentioned that.
He did.
So,
but and I think that
I feel like with a three, I feel
fact,
it's hard to think about the three championship thing. But
the fact
it would
that
be
stage
cool
points
to see.
Don't matter up in like they matter all season long except for the championship.
Yeah, because
race.
All you have to do is win.
It's like what?
Because all
like,
you have to do is
like,
win in the next round.
No, I know, but I'm just saying like no. But even the championship race, it doesn't matter. Like Martinsville, you can win. You can move on to the championship four. With stage points, right? Mm-hmm. If you're, like, we've seen it. Three spots, three races, or four spots, three races. Somebody's getting in on points.
Right.
But, like, the fact that you go to Phoenix,
and
it's just, like, whoever's the highest.
So, in that case.
Whoever highest finishes.
Right.
You win.
So,
and it's like. So,
right.
I can win stage one and two and then be second and lose the championship?
Yeah.
Like.
Which I think for in that, I mean, I guess will be, it wouldn't make sense because all the other races are to have stages, but make the championship race not no stage. Because in that case, stages don't mean anything.
But I agree.
I guess it would be harder to go stages 35 races of the year and the last one be like, no, we're not going stages.
Well, it's honestly, stage racing is more of a TV product because
oh, yeah.
it builds in commercial break time. But my point is like, do a multi-race finish. Whether it be one race, two race, three race, four race, probably three races good. Have three different racetracks, right? Have a mile and a half, have a short track, and maybe a Talladega. Why not? Right? Like, have three different racetracks, you know, or maybe have it where it's like a Homestead, Phoenix, Bristol, you know, so we have a mile, mile and a half, and a short track. And make it so that at the end of those three, it's the points that matter.
Right.
It's not, I mean, if Joey Logano goes and wins all three races, then okay, then there you go. But it doesn't matter if he won two out of the three. Because if Christopher Bell got stage points at all three races and his points are higher than Joe Logano's, but we're winning two out of the three, then C. Bell's the winner.
Right.
You know, do it like that, in my opinion.
Because the championship four, like Reddick made the championship four. And I'm pretty sure he had the most points, I think, all season. Because, I mean, obviously the regular season championship. But championship four, they all even in points, which
right.
doesn't make sense.
Right.
So, like, the points leaders shouldn't have, if they're still in the championship four,
points
have more points.
Points don't matter.
But, yeah, that's the
unfortunately
thing.
Except for, like, points matter, but they don't.
Right.
Like, it's weird. And I think that, like, I don't think you should do a 10-race playoff like they used to do the chase. Remember how they would make their 12, and then they'd be like, okay,
yeah,
go race. And, like, I mean, Jimmy Johnson, for 5 years in a row, won every championship by race number five or race number six of the 10 races because he just went out and won or was consistent. And it's like, okay, mathematically, he can't do anything, right? Mm-hmm. You don't – when Phoenix was the second-to-last race of the year, the ESPN would be like, well, with that point, Johnson's your champion. Yep. See you next week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like – now I just got to wait for the merchandise to come out. You know, like it was like, okay, great. Like, why are we tuning in to Homestead? We know he won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then 2011 was probably the only year that really was the most on your seat because that was the year that Edwards was tied with Stewart for the championship. Edwards was all points. Stewart's was five wins.
And Hamlin probably would have been up there, too, if he didn't break his back.
Probably,
I think that was 2011.
No, that was 2013. Oh. But anyways, it just, like, that was probably the most exciting year going into Homestead because you had two drivers, and basically, and I wonder if NASCAR came up with this playoff idea because, based off of this, because basically it was whoever won the race.
Mm.
Same idea now. And I think for the casual fan, it makes it very easy. Mm. We have four drivers, whoever finishes highest.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, other sports cater to the casual fan, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, I'm a Rangers fan. I have no idea if we're even close to making a wild card or not. Probably not. But, like, I don't understand the points of NHL, but I'm still a Rangers fan.
Right.
You know? Like, there's things with other sports that it's like, I don't. Like, we sit here and we talk about baseball in a couple weeks, and you'll be like, oh, well, you're three games back. It's like,
not a couple weeks. Opening day's Thursday.
Well, I'm saying a couple weeks meaning, like, we're not talking about back on Thursday. We're talking about games back in May.
But baseball's pretty easy. You gain a game.
But my point is when you say games back, my first thought is, oh, so they've only played 10 and you've played 13? No. It's you've won 13, we've won 10. Okay. You know, like, my point is like, every sport has the confusing things about them.
Right.
You know, and it's the same thing with NASCAR. And I think NASCAR tried to simplify it, which is fine, but when you simplified it, you took away the fact that, like, the 30 or 26 races prior didn't really matter. You know, the fact that you reset points every three races is like, wait. So it doesn't matter that, you know, Denny Hamlin won eight races? I mean, it does, but it doesn't, because those points carry. But he's now only 56 points ahead of so-and-so, who didn't win any races. He got into the playoffs on points. And because he made it to the round of eight, now we all have 3,000-something points. You know, he's eighth. He's got 3,000. I won five races. I got 3,056. We're only 56 points apart.
Mm-mm.
What? You know, so I think that's something where it's kind of like, I don't know how NASCAR fixes it. But it's something I think they got to work on. And I agree with you that I think this might be the last year of the playoffs. And I hope that, like, with the idea of Homestead,
I don't think
of
the playoffs. They tweak something with
it. Sorry. The current format. I think that with NASCAR kind of sort of hinting the idea of, like, oh, maybe Homestead, maybe they do the three-race format. And they say, hey, guess what? Phoenix, Homestead, and Vegas. Or Phoenix, Homestead, and Bristol, or some other warmer weather track. But unfortunately, and DBC brought it up, and it's something we have to bring up, is there's the business side of this, right? In order for a race to happen, somebody's got to get paid, and somebody has to pay a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and nobody, we don't really think about it much because we go to Daytona and we go to the NASCAR race and they're here. But little do we realize that NASCAR paid themselves to be here, right? New Hampshire Motor Speedway pays NASCAR to say, come race for us or come race here. And then it becomes basically a giant track rental, you know? So it's kind of like, point being is there's a lot of money involved. Us New Hampshire people saw it a couple years ago when the September race was taken away from us and went to Vegas. Everybody was like, oh, screw you, SMI, blah, blah, blah. They took our race away. No. Las Vegas went to SMI and said, we'll give you X amount for the next 10 years to have a second race here. It's a business decision. You know, as much as us race fans in New Hampshire were going, what the heck? It was a business decision. You know, if somebody approached me and said, hey, we want you to cover all of these games. We'll pay you this for the next blunt years. Okay. It's a business decision. You know, it's just the way it goes sometimes. So there's unfortunately other factors there. I don't necessarily understand them to a full degree in the corporate world, so that's why I'm not going to elaborate on them more. But it is, that's also a factor that people need to keep in mind, is it's not just NASCAR saying, I want to go to sunny California.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, the race fans want that. But when are we, who's paying for it?
Nobody.
You know what I mean? Like, and unfortunately, that's the world we live in.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Anyways, any other thoughts?
No.
Okay.
On to Martinsville.
On to Martinsville.
Hopefully, Martinsville's good. Because regular season Martinsville, not that good.
We got a softer tire. Truck race on Friday.
I think.
FS1, 7:30. Xfinity race on Saturday, 3:30 CW. And Cup race on Sunday, 3 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. FS1.
I think this is a big weekend, too, because, you know, whole short track thing. Whole short track package.
Mm. It'll be interesting to say, the least.
I do know there's a tire test coming to Loudon, though, so.
At some point. We'll see. Yeah. But anyways.
Haven't said one yet, but.
Well, I mean, there's snow on the ground here.
Yeah.
So, probably not this week.
When I head back past the track, I'll let you know if I hear anything.
Honestly, my opinion is they would probably do it in April.
Yeah, that's when they did it
because
a couple of years ago.
Well, because, yes, but also because April weather is somewhat similar to what you're going to deal with in September.
Yeah.
So, colder except racetrack.
Not as cold. September's still fairly warm.
Well, yeah, in recent years. So, maybe you do it in the beginning of May. But as you know, you're trying to test something that's going to be relevant in
the same
8 months.
Not so. Not like our July race, and they're doing it testing in July and racing for it's 80 degrees, 85 degrees, where September could be 60 or 55.
Right. And that's why they're probably doing a tire test, because Goodyear probably said, well, we haven't been in September there in a while.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Well, they were supposed to do one a couple of years ago.
Yeah, the day.
After the Cup race, but the race moved to Monday.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
So, yeah, a couple of years ago, but.
Anyways.
Not the same tire test at this point, because I think they tire tested last year at Loudon, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't think it was. No.
They tested at Loudon.
It wasn't a tire test, though. It was a short track package test.
Oh.
They tried different spoilers.
That was last year, though, right?
Yeah. Anyways.
I wish they opened that to the public. I'd go.
We used to. They used to open it up. It was fun to go.
I'm going
to
get me a D-pass.
Good luck with that.
Try to talk to someone and be like, how do I get this?
Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Anyways.
I'll try my best.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to this week's edition of Racing Hotspot. As always, follow us on social media. Feel free to interact with us on social media. We'll see how that starts going. But for Jordan, I'm Devin. Have a good weekend in Thompson.
Thank you.
Look forward to next week's show. And
it's cold.
Yeah, it will be.
But, you know,
bundle up.
Ice called icebreaker for a reason. Not supposed to be warm, but it's called the icebreaker.
True that. All right, have a great week, everybody. We'll see you soon.